All right, guys, welcome back to Beyond the Barbell. I'm Ben Alderman.
And I'm Blair Morrison. We're sitting here with Shay Farish.
Hello.
Thanks for being here, Shay. Shay is a 16-year-old CrossFitter. She's been doing it for the last 4 years, many of those at my gym. She has been to the CrossFit Games in the teen division twice and has competed on multiple teams with our gym in the elite division. So she's an accomplished athlete, to say the least. She is also the founder of the Shea Strong Foundation, which is a foundation dedicated to research and funding for type 1 diabetes, and specifically childhood diabetes. So she's got a lot on her plate, as well as being a teenager, which we were talking a little bit off the air. So yeah, Shay, you're not the average girl.
No, it's kind of stressful.
Yeah, you just got out of school. Like, you came here from school, and you said you were at school for like 15 hours straight, and it was very long.
It was really long. Last block is probably the longest and more boring than others. It's math, algebra 2.
Not to mention, you just came off of a pretty big weekend with a dance recital.
Oh, yeah.
So not only are you a badass CrossFitter, but you perform a little bit in the performing arts. Likes to cut a rug.
It was bad. I was not born to dance. You can tell on stage. It was awful.
Oh, really?
It was really bad.
It was really bad.
Yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about the actual performance and like what your role was. I mean, I'm curious.
So to graduate, I go to Del Oro High School. And to graduate, you have to have a performing arts class that you take. So instead of choir, I picked dance. So for our final for dance, we had to do a dance show, and we did the Christmas Carol. And I got casted as the ghost of Christmas Future, and I don't know how I got that.
The ghost of Christmas Future is usually like the really big, hooded, scary-looking one, right? That's you?
That's me.
Wow, are there pictures of this anywhere?
No.
Oh,
I guarantee there's pictures.
Yeah, where's your mom? We gotta ask your mom, and she'll probably be able to provide us with pictures.
I mean, the Ghost of Christmas, I just watched Scrooged the other day on TV.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, Bill Murray.
Yeah.
And the Ghost of Christmas Future, all I remember was like just a bony skeleton hand. Like, it was gnarly.
Yeah, that movie is actually kind of weird, because if you watch it when you were young, it was actually somewhat scary.
Right.
Yeah, it kind of messed with your head a little bit. And now when you watch it, it's not really a scary movie, per se.
Well, yeah. Well, it's kind of the effects aren't really that
realistic. They're not as good anymore. It's like watching Terminator or something right. From back in the 80s. Anyway.
So that was you.
That was me.
So how much dancing does the Ghost of Christmas Future do?
I was in like 3 dances out of 15. And like you switch on and off with the different dance classes. So I had to do a graveyard one. And then I had to do a tap dance as a schoolgirl. And then that was outside the ghost.
Yeah, and that was not the ghost.
No, that was not the ghost. And then, like, the ghost dance with all the other ghosts.
How many practices for this play leading up to it? Was it the whole semester or trimester, whatever you guys use?
We, like, started in dance class 2 months ago to get ready for it. And then we had a dress rehearsal. And then I missed a whole week at the gym.
Were there days that you went to, like, dance practice and you're trying to dance, but your quads are just so blown up because of something you did here at the gym? Did that ever happen?
I remember, I don't know which workout it was. I was coming back to school the next day to get ready for the dress rehearsal, and I remember my arms being sore from something, and I don't remember what it was.
Did it negatively affect your dancing, or were you over it?
No, I pushed through.
You pushed through. That a girl.
Yeah, could you blame like poor moves on CrossFit?
I do.
Yeah.
I do all the time. People are like, man, you don't want to dance? It's my wedding, bro. Like I get invited to weddings or
quads,
bar mitzvah all the time, you know? And so I just decided, I'm like, you know, I can't really dance right now. My quads are super sore. I did a crazy workout today, fight gone bad or something. You know what
right.
I mean? Like I just start these people are like, oh yeah, totally, man. Just chill.
Yeah, you know? I feel like you didn't dance at my wedding.
We weren't at your wedding very long.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went to your wedding, and then we weren't at the
reception
all that long.
Yeah.
And there was some really good dancers at your wedding. And
I saw videos.
And so, yeah, I mean, like, you're...
That was intimidating for you?
Half of them were, you know, royal court or kings or whatever you call them now, dancers. You know,
professional
then there was,
dancers.
There was this dude, yeah, people, girls who get paid to dance.
Right.
Like, legit dance, not, like, not legit dance.
Pole dancing.
Yeah. And then there was, like, this older dude there who was just killing it. You know what I mean? And so I was like, okay. And the lights were all very on. So there was no
spotlit.
There
dance
was just
floor.
Too many things going on, and my quads were really sore. So.
Right, and your head was going to throw you off balance.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm like, these people can all see.
I have a new appreciation for Ben's dilemma with the, like, the size of his head, because my baby has a very heavy head for its body frame, and she's like, it's really hard for her to balance. It's always pulling her left and right. So, I respect you, bro. Like, yeah. What you can do.
Thank you, thank you. Like, no, that means a lot. I mean, yeah. Really, coming from you, that means a lot.
Anyways, back to Shay. So you had this culminating performance, right? How many How many shows were there?
Six.
In one weekend?
Two on Thursday, two on Friday, two on Saturday.
Wow. That's a lot of Christmas future.
But I missed one for the Fox 40 thing.
Oh, okay.
Oh, local celebrity. You got to take some time off to make sure you can be on the news. And
that's right.
You know, that's all good. So now that the recital's over and, you know, we're in December, it means January starting. We have the open coming up. What are your focuses? You know, I know that, like we said, you have school. Mm-hmm. You have all these different things. What are you planning on focusing on?
Just trying to wrap up school. I mean, I have two more weeks left and then Christmas break. So after I get that all out of the way, I can focus on more of the opens. I'm going to try to qualify for the teen division this year. Last year, I didn't really know what was happening with the teens, so I just decided to do the team one. So later on, I found out that they did a CrossFit Games for the teens. I was kind of disappointed that I didn't get to do that, but this year I'm going to try and do that.
A return to glory.
Yes.
That sounds very cool, though. You know what I mean? Like, just being able to pursue something like that. You know, these age divisions. You know, I was just at the American Open this past weekend, and you get to see some of these up-and-coming athletes, you know, competing and doing the similar or the same weights as, you know, their adult counterparts, you know? And for you to be able to go down there and compete at the games, that would be a pretty cool experience, I got to imagine.
Yeah. It was. The first 2 years, like, I think I was, like, 12 and 13 when I was at the teen gauntlet at the games, which was really, really fun. It was stressful and nerve-wracking, but, I mean, I had, like, Blair come down with my other coach, Denny, and we kind of just hung out throughout the games. It was fun.
Yeah, just brushing shoulders with just famous CrossFitters from CrossFit. Everybody wants
no
a picture.
Big deal.
They all want a picture with Shay.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
You're kind of a big deal in the CrossFit world now, Shay.
Yeah, a lot of people know who you are.
How do you, I mean, at school, do you have any other, like, kids your age that do CrossFit or are going to try to do the open this year?
No one that I know at my school. I mean, there are people that go to Loomis CrossFit for, like, baseball and stuff and just for training. And, like, I'll hear them in the classroom, like, talk about it, and they think it's super cool. And then they're like, oh, Shay, don't you do it, too? And I was like, yeah. So we just kind of talk about it. But there's no one I really know about at my school that really is involved in it as
okay.
much as I am.
Well, so two questions. Number one, is the reason that they know you do it because you wear all kinds of CrossFit Anywhere clothing at school? And second question, is there a weight training class at school that you can take and, like, work out with these other so-called CrossFitters?
The first question.
Did you say so-called CrossFitters?
Well, I mean, I'll put Shay in a pretty high pedestal. I'm not sure if these baseball guys can hang with her.
No, I mean, they probably can't because they're using CrossFit to supplement their sport, where CrossFit is Shay's sport at this point, right?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think of Shay as a little sister, and if she's going to be working out with some baseball guys doing CrossFit, I want to make sure they're up to the challenge. You know, they're not going to show bad technique and crappy squat depth. I'm not into that.
Shay wouldn't hang out with boys like that.
No.
Look at that squat. I can't hang out with you. My mom would be very upset.
There is a weight training class, but it's not like a club. It's weight training for football. But I did it last year as a sophomore, and it was more of like running because the coach was too scared. The coach is the head football coach for Del Oro. He was too scared to like have 30 kids in a class and all have them do like heavy weights. So there's that. And then he asked me to be his TA this year to help him out with weight training. And
so
then
you could coach the technique for everybody.
No squat, no rep,
no rep in everybody.
No, but he's like, I have him first block next term, and he said I could go in early since I'd come to school, and he said I could lift, and then I could help all the other kids.
How legit is that? That's some of the perks of being an upperclassman. Like, I remember that in high school. Like, once you develop a relationship with some of the teachers, the coaches, where they trust you, you're not being an idiot. Like, mm-hmm. You've been there a few years now, and now you can kind of, you know, reap the benefits a bit. That's great.
Yeah. He's pretty cool. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing sometimes. I don't, like, last year he told me to come help the football team and teach him how to squat, and I said no thanks because I was like, nah, I'm good.
Is it kind of like it's almost like a little bit embarrassing, right, to coach them? It's not that you're – I feel like – I know what you're saying. I don't know if that's the right word, you know, but you know better than they do, and it's kind of like a weird –
Yeah, it's like not embarrassing that I can like I know how to lift and stuff and I can lift heavy weight, but to like help them and they feel like they know stuff and then I say something and they just don't listen. I don't know, it's just
you
that
more
kind
feel
of
like
stuff.
You're wasting your time.
Yeah.
Well, it'd probably also be easier when you're as old or older than them.
Yeah.
Like as a sophomore telling seniors what to do, that's different than a junior telling freshmen what to do, mm-hmm. or even a junior telling seniors, like at that point, you're more equals, right?
Yeah. But along with the other question, I do wear a lot of gym stuff to school. Maybe too much.
That's what I'm talking about.
Please tell me you're not wearing tie-dye to school.
Oh, I do.
Oh, my gosh.
Bro, color is the new black. Haven't you heard?
Black is the
new
black,
They actually really
bro.
Like that sweatshirt.
The color is the new black one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
can we get
cool.
one of those?
Yeah. I mean, you're wearing kind of quasi tie-dye right now.
Yeah, this is the group. Miranda Oldroyd, like, camo paintball splatter Progenics tee.
Progenics tee.
Mm-hmm. I like Progenics. I like Miranda. I like
support it. You
paintball.
Like you like paintball.
I like shirts that make my arms look bigger than normal.
Which is all shirts.
Yeah. So you talked about weight training a little bit, Shay. What mm-hmm. does your training look like in general? You know, I feel like I'm really curious because at 11 years old, how old are you again?
I'm 16.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, but I'm just really curious what your training looks like.
It's all really based on right now my schoolwork and just like family occasions. If I have a lot of schoolwork, I'll try to get it done in class and then come to the gym. But junior year kind of hit me like a brick wall. It's like the SATs. I have this thick book I just like try to chip away at every day. And then based on that, I'll come into the gym. I don't really like cardio. I like lifting. So sometimes I'll try to come in here and do the barbell class and then I'll try to sneak out. And then Blair catches me and then kind of like persuades me to do the cardio.
Right. Because we've had conversations where Shay admits to me that she really needs to get better at conditioning. And then we'll proceed not to do it.
Yeah.
That's because she's a high school girl and just can't be trusted.
High school girls cannot be trusted.
Just cannot be trusted.
You heard it here on Beyond the Barbell first.
That's right.
High school girls are untrustworthy.
Not trustworthy. Based on the experience of this CrossFit coach.
So you try to sneak out. You're like, hey, you know what? I don't really like the conditioning. What is it about the conditioning? Is this painful or is it just not fun because you love lifting a bar? Like, what is it?
Ben's asking you because he feels the same way.
I'm really curious. I want to dig down deep into this because I try to get better conditioning, but I'm 33 and I don't get any better. So I'm like wondering, did I have the same ideas when I was, I'm trying to identify what happened in my past. So you're helping me out right now.
I don't know. I've always really liked lifting. This stuff for conditioning is just kind of a mental thing for me. I like start doing it and then I'll start quitting on myself. And then at that point I kind of just give up, which is like really bad. But lifting to me, I have more fun with it. I like trying to succeed and getting like a PR or something. And then it's just a lot different with the conditioning workouts.
You do realize that the Open is predominantly yes. conditioning.
Yes, I do.
So we're going to have to really hammer down on that stuff. Now, recently you did the online Wodapalooza qualifier, right?
Yes.
How did that go?
That actually went pretty well. It was every week you had a new workout. It was like 5 workouts, I think. And I did them pretty well. My last one was probably the best.
Which workout was that?
I don't remember. It was, I think it had wall balls in it or something. I don't know. But there was one workout that I did horrible in and I had to stop, which was a really big conditioning workout.
All right, I remember that because that was at the chipper with, it had wall balls, like knees to chest and burpees and deadlifts, a bunch of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Halfway through, it was like burpees over the box. And that's what kind of got me. I started doing like 3 and then I like kept staying on the ground and I wouldn't get up. And then mentally, it just hit me again.
How did you end up finishing in the qualifier?
I made top 20. That's what I thought. I was really confused with Wodapalooza's, I don't really know how to say it, but qualifying, because I thought you had to be top 20 to qualify, but then I found out that it was a raffle, so I didn't get picked to go, but I was still happy with my performance.
Right. I think what they did was they did it like the NBA draft lottery where
Depending on your finish, you got more
balls in the hopper, mm-hmm. right? And so they ended up taking 20 people, even though Shea was top 20. She didn't. Somebody outside the top 20 got in instead.
I can see why they would do that, but you're right. It does kind of suck. It sucks for anybody outside the top 20, but they want to make it not so competitive, I guess, with the teens probably.
Maybe, and they probably think, okay, well, if we do a lottery, then it. Well, I don't really know what they're thinking. I would just say if the standards are good and everybody's submitting videos, then if you qualify, you qualify.
Guido, you're probably listening to this podcast, so
let us know.
Shoot us a text and let us know.
I know you have a good reason, but
absolutely, we're not second guessing anybody. We're just trying to get inside your head. Yeah. Right. You don't like conditioning all that much.
Mm-hmm.
You try to sneak away. You try to get out of it. Is there a part of you that wants to just become a weightlifter?
I did weightlifting before I really got into CrossFit, and I really liked it.
Enter the singlet conversation.
No, thanks.
Shay hates the singlet.
Shay is redder than her red shirt right now.
Not down with the weightlifting singlet requirements.
I hated the singlet. I kind of stopped weightlifting and then just got into CrossFit for these past 4 years, and then recently, a few months ago, I did the Tommy Kono meet at Whitney High School, and I had to buy a new singlet. I found out how to wear a singlet, and then it just kind of went downhill from there. But I tried on.
Great in that competition. What are you talking about?
It was the singlet. I just felt uncomfortable. Like I tried. My mom's like, try on the one you wore at the age of 12, and I was like, that's not gonna fit me. She was like, try it on, and I tried it on, and it was just.
Not happening.
Not a good sight. It was. I was like, I need a new singlet, Mom. So she got me the singlet. And that morning, before the competition, I was like, I told my mom, I was like, I'm not going to do this. I can't wear the singlet in front of everyone. I'm not going to go. So I like wait in my room for like 5 minutes before my mom's like in the car. And then I finally just had to go because everyone was texting me saying, you signed up. You have to go now. Put on the singlet. And then once
we're all in the stands waiting to watch you, just better come.
But once I got there, it wasn't that bad. It was really fun. It kind of was like a flashback to when I used to lift when I was little, which was really fun. I made nationals when I was like 12, and that was the same year I went to the Teen Gauntlet for the games, and I had to pick which one I wanted to do. And at the time, my age was off. It was like people were going to be way older than me, but yet again, I wanted to go to the games and see what that was like. So I did that. But I still, I want to do both, if that's possible.
But definitely possible, but you're definitely going to have to put the singlet on again.
I know.
And do conditioning workouts.
Yeah.
So in order to do these two things you want to do, you have to do two things you don't want to
do. You don't want to do. Yeah.
Just a classic catch-22 situation. Yeah,
that's
here.
Exactly what it is. I want to weightlift, but I don't want to wear a singlet. I want to do CrossFit, but I don't want to condition. Well, it's going to be tough to compete in either.
I'm going to create a new sport.
Right.
CrossFit weightlifting, where you get to wear what CrossFitters wear, but only do weightlifting.
Right, like the liftoff was like that. You didn't wear a singlet for the liftoff.
That's true.
You
I
know?
Guess it's already been created.
It's already been created by CrossFit. So talk about the probably really, really tough dynamic. I got to imagine this is horrible for you, having Blair Morrison as a coach.
Oh, God.
But if by horrible, you mean just a dream come true.
I really had woke up this morning and I was like telling myself, you know what, Ben, you need to work on being nicer. People see you and you're a jerk, man. Like you're never nice. You're always mean, you know? And then the first chance I get, I got to say something mean, you know?
Except that the person you're meanest to is yourself. You're like the most self-deprecating person.
People don't care though. Some people don't care because some people I pick on.
Some people you pick on.
Yeah.
And they don't know that you're just being funny.
Yeah. I'm working on it. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So anyway, it's horrible having Blair Morrison as your coach, which probably is a testament to you as an athlete. So go into what that's like having Blair as a coach.
No, it's not bad at all.
This podcast is over.
We do.
It's not going the way Ben wanted it to go.
We do lots of conditioning. So, but I was at a different CrossFit gym before I came here. And what I liked about CrossFit Anywhere was the diversity of everything. Like before I came here, I didn't know how to, I still am not very good at them, but rope climb. I learned how to row better. Things that before I just kind of did, but I never really got taught how to do well. I like the community here. They're like my second family. Blair, like my big brother, he's just there to push me and try to make me succeed in anything I like want to do throughout the CrossFit community too. So it's not bad to have him as a coach.
What does he do? You know, like when he is maybe dealing with your mindset or dealing with you, when you try to seek out a conditioning workout, what are the type of things that he says to you that make you want to stick around?
He's very persuasive. He's like, where are you going? Aren't you going to do the workout? I'm like, do I have
no,
to?
No, I have homework.
So does he have to like convince you in the sense where he's like what he said earlier, you know, CrossFit's basically all conditioning. And for the open, you're going to do a conditioning workout. And then the following week, you'll do a conditioning workout. And then the following week, you're going to do another conditioning workout. And that's how you're going to qualify to the CrossFit Games. Or does he just simply give you like that look? And you don't want to disappoint him, so you stick around and do it. Is it reasoning or is it guilt?
It's kind of both. He like gives you that stare, but then again, he's like, if you want to get better at conditioning and if you want to make it to like to the games or you want to qualify for blah, 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 or do this next competition coming up, you know that they're going to have this and that and you're going to have to work on it. So it's kind of like that.
I think that's actually kind of an interesting question, Ben, because not just with Shay, obviously Shay's the subject of this particular conversation, but with anybody, any athlete that you're coaching, like you have to remind them why they're doing it, right? Because the eventual stage that they need to get to is they have to motivate themselves to work hard in the workout. No coach can get inside their body and make them push hard enough to improve. But a lot of people, when they talk about their coaches, they talk about not wanting to disappoint them, right?
Right.
Because like if you show
because
up.
Because of that relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I feel like it is both. And if at least in a good coaching relationship, it's probably both where, yeah, the coach and the athlete care about each other enough to not want to disappoint the other, right? Like Ben, if you show up to a class that you're not normally coaching to, and people are kind of like stand a little taller, like they want you, they want to be kind of like impress you, right?
Right.
I think that relationship is an important one. But then also the fact that with someone like Shay, who has stated goals, that she needs to be reminded of those so that she can be motivated for her own self, not
maybe like an accountability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Accountability thing. And it's easy to forget, man. Like she's got like dance recitals and SATs and like football games and, you know, weightlifting TA stuff, clipboards to organize, you know, like it's a lot of stuff going on, and she's 16. Like that's a lot to handle. And then also to have this monster goal of like qualifying for the, you know, the CrossFit games as a teen, like, it's not just, it used to be, I feel like, Shay, you were so talented that you could just submit your scores, right? You go up to one competition and you qualify because there wasn't so many of you guys out there.
Yeah.
But the older you get, the more other kids there are that are doing it, and they're good.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Like, at the age of 12, it was kind of just me and Valerie Calhoun, I remember. Such an awesome athlete. I just remember at the time I didn't really know anyone my age doing it. And then as years go on, more and more, like, I didn't know about the Teen Gauntlet. And the next year they started doing more kids competitions. And nowadays it's not really much of a surprise how like talented kids our age are at this kind of sport.
Right. I mean, I know this summer when I went to Greece for the Anywhere Fit trip, I had Phoenix Phillips and Dylan Contreras. These are two Progenix sponsored teenage athletes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Dylan, I think, is just turning 16.
Phoenix snatches more than you, right?
Rumored to snatch more than me. And Phoenix he's a senior this year. I think he's turning 18. But I mean, these guys are like big time athletes, and they have, they've created, you know, their own kind of teen network of communication, where like the Instagram and email and stuff like that, they keep in touch with each other. And because even though there's more people, it's still not, like you said, there's nobody at your school that's doing it on your level. So in order to have peers to compete with or train against, you kind of have to use the internet a little bit, right?
Yeah. And with like the CrossFit Games having their own teen division, I mean, there was always like the Teen Gauntlet on the side, like being able to use part of the venue of the CrossFit Games. And now last year, there's a whole new group of teenagers that you go there and you get the same experience as the athletes. You get all the gear and you get to be on like the big stadium and the field. It's like that wasn't there a few years ago, and it's just amazing how big it's gotten.
Right. Yeah. So just to explain to our listeners, the Teen Gauntlet that Shay's describing was kind of something that was put on parallel to the CrossFit Games. It was organized by CrossFit Kids, but it wasn't organized by like Dave Castro and the Games headquarters team. And then last year, they have kind of brought the teens into the fold, whereas now you have a teen division, you have the open division, and you have the masters divisions. And that's all under the CrossFit Games umbrella. So now you're sponsored. The whole thing is sponsored by Reebok, so now you're going to be getting your shoes and you're going to be getting your uniforms. And it's like Shay's saying, it's like the real CrossFit Games experience. And I mean, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Is that part of the reason why you want to go back, is to get that full experience? Or do you feel like it's just, why do you want to go to the CrossFit Games?
It's kind of been a goal of mine ever since I really found out about it when I was little.
You mean to go to the games as an open athlete, like against everybody?
Yes. But now that they've brought in this teen division, I feel like there's a chance for me to get that experience and get more drive to go when I'm older as like a woman's individual athlete. And that, I just think that's super cool. And the community, I've seen pictures of all the teenagers and what they did last year and how they hung out, and just the group of people as individuals now at the games, it's just a whole new thing with teenagers now. And I think that's super cool.
From your perspective, like as you, I mean, obviously you follow some athletes. I know you're a big fan of Jenny Labaugh and Margo Alvarez. Mm-hmm. And these are some of your kind of role models. Like, what do you see as like the necessary amount of training time for someone your age? Like, you see how much harder it's getting. Like, how much mm-hmm. time do you think you need to dedicate in order to qualify?
A lot. Right now, it's at being a teenager and in high school, I can understand, like, in my perspective, it's hard to get in here and try to get everything done and kind of get out. But with athletes right now at the games, like Jenny Labaugh and Margo, you need lots of training. You need people to train with, and like 2 to 3 hours, maybe four times a week. And at our age right now, I just think that's a little harder. But try to get in here as much as you can. But with keeping, like with me keeping up my grades so that I can pursue that in the future.
2 to 3 hours a day, 4 to 5 days a week. That sounds like a varsity sport.
It totally does. And I think that it's a good number, right? I think when you get past that, what we have to remember is, in perspective, you don't get paid to go to the CrossFit games, the teen CrossFit games especially, you know, so the idea of spending or taking time away from the things that truly matter, like your education and making sure that you're focusing on your future, right? Like, it's important to keep those things in perspective.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think that is a good number, because that's what other athletes are doing, right? When they're pursuing their sport, trying to be as good as they can be in high school, I'm saying. Obviously, when you're a professional athlete, you spend more time than that. But in high school, like if you're a football player or a baseball player or a basketball player or a cheerleader or whatever it is that you're dedicating your time to, it's 2 to 3 hours a day right after school, right? Yeah. And then you go home and do your homework, and it's busy. It's not the easiest thing. There's not a lot of free time, but that is doable, right?
Yeah, I do think of it as like my varsity sport, where I have a grade sheet, because football players and any other sport at our school, they have to keep a certain GPA to keep playing. So that's kind of how I base my time in the gym. Saying like, if I had a grade sheet and I had to go get it signed off to make sure that I can keep doing my sport, I think that plays a big factor in how much someone can train.
That's actually a really cool idea.
Yeah. But do football players ever get to skip practice if they have too much homework?
I think they do. I think they have to go to their coach and tell them the situation that they're in and their grade, and they take them out for the next game.
I gotta imagine there's like some sort of limit, right? But then they don't get to play.
Yeah, every few months they take their sheet of papers, and they have to go around to their teachers and get them signed saying that they can play, and if they can't, what they can do so that they can play that next game.
Yeah, I think that's cool. I mean, I think that if you hold yourself to that same standard, basically you're doing something that a lot of people wouldn't normally do, right? Yeah. Like, they wouldn't put that standard on themselves. Like, hey, I do CrossFit. My coach doesn't really care. He doesn't, you know, obviously Blair cares, but he doesn't check the same way that a football coach who's actually involved in the academic system mm-hmm. checks, right? He doesn't have that same kind of thing. So if you put that on yourself, you know, at least to a certain extent, it sounds like you have a pretty good balance.
Yeah. Who do you take the grade sheet to?
My mom. She's always like, I'll tell her I'll have a lot of homework and she'll understand. And she just wants to see my grade. Like, she gets constant emails from my teacher, my grades. And then she'll just ask me why my grade's like that, or what I can do better to bring it up. And some days I'll just be in the gym and I need to get something done, and I'll tell her why. And she's like, okay, let's go. We need to get this done. And because school is really important to me, I find that I get to school and I need to get stuff done just so I can come back in the gym.
Right. So we've talked a little bit about, you know, what it's like to be in high school and an athlete, and then a CrossFit athlete especially. Mm-hmm. And we talked about some of your goals. I want to shift gears a little bit and talk a little bit about Shea Strong, the foundation that you started. We kind of mentioned it in the intro, but maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit about that and how it came about.
The Shea Strong Foundation came about, it really, things started going about a year ago. We got the name from a guy that was talking about how I was physically and mentally strong with my diabetes and CrossFit, and then the name just popped up and we're like, oh, that's a really cool name. So I started talking to my mom one day. I was really down about one of my type 1 diabetes appointments, and I wanted to do something that I wouldn't have to just stand around and wait for someone to find a cure, and I wanted to have a hands-on experience and try to help and do my part. So my mom and I started talking, and the foundation is basically about raising money to find a cure for type 1 diabetes and educating kids my age or any parents from my mom's perspective, like what they can do to help their kids.
So I think a lot of times that people think that type 1 diabetes and type 2 diabetes are both the same thing, right?
Like, or at least they don't understand the difference.
Exactly. They don't understand the difference. They're, what's type 1 versus type 2? Do you get any of that with your situation? Do people ever say anything about your diabetes?
Yeah, I get it a lot. I'll be in class. Kids in high school don't really, I guess, pay attention to what the difference is. And later on, they'll probably find out. But if we're in class, someone's eating like a whole bunch of food, someone crack a joke saying, oh, dude, you're going to get diabetes, and they don't like put out there what kind. So that kind of gets to me. But a lot of my friends do know that I have type 1 diabetes, and they know about the Shea Strong Foundation, and they go around telling people, hey, have you heard about this? And these jokes, there is a difference between type 1 and type 2, and that's a big reason why Shea Strong came about, because I want to just educate people on the difference and educate them about what they can do to help.
Is there anything that type 1 diabetes affects in the gym?
Sometimes if I'm doing a workout and my blood sugar goes down and it crashes, I have to stop in the middle of the workout to correct and have a juice and have some sugar. Or if my blood sugar is high, on the high side, I get really dizzy and really hot, so I have to like calm down and drink a whole bunch of water. I try to avoid that by testing before and after I get to the gym, so that way when I'm in a workout, that doesn't really happen. But it does affect, like if you're in a competition, it's not good, and I've had that before, and I just don't want to experience that again. So it does affect it.
Are there any signs like ahead of time, like where you start getting irritable or anything like that? Or is that just generally associated with your conditioning workouts?
That's just when you're hungry.
Yeah. Well, I was like saying, like, you know, once you start getting hungry, you know, you start getting grouchy, people are like, is your blood sugar low? You know?
My mom, she says that when my blood sugar is high, I act like a little kid on a temper tantrum. I don't really find it that extreme, but I
hey,
do.
Mom, I'm 16. Like, that's what I do.
I could imagine your mom like hasn't eaten in 5 or 6 hours. You haven't eaten, and your blood sugar is low or high, and then you guys are at the two ends of the spectrum. Is there a fight?
Oh, it's bad. It's really bad. Sorry, Mom.
Whose fault is it mostly?
Probably mine, and then my mom just can't really handle it. Like, she'll just get really irritated with me about just complaining or something. I get really bossy, I guess. But when I'm low, being low and being high, like your blood sugars, I don't feel the highs as much as I do feel the lows, because the lows, I feel shaky and I feel like kind of droopy. And I just want to keep eating and eating and eating until I feel better. But when my blood sugar is on the higher side, I'm grouchy and hot. And there's just two different feelings that I have, but other kids can have totally different feelings.
Is managing the blood sugar, would you say that's the most difficult thing about having type 1 diabetes?
Yes. I find that the hardest, especially when I go to my checkup appointments. That's one thing that they look at. They want to make sure you're taking your insulin and managing so that you don't go into DKA where you like pass out because your blood sugar is so high or so low. And I feel like the doctors just kind of, they want you to be healthy, but they find it in a different way where they just want, they don't care about how you do it. They just want your blood sugar to be managed, which kind of irritates me. I recently just got approved that I get the Dexcom. It's a little chip that you put anywhere on your body and it reads your blood sugar through a little, I don't know what it's called. It's like a little meter. So it gives you your blood sugar every 5 minutes without testing, but you do still have to test like one or two times a day just to refresh it. And then it also, you get an app on your phone. So if I'm at a friend's house, my mom can be at home and instead of texting me, she can just go on her phone and she's like, oh, this is your blood sugar. She'll text me and be like, Shay, have you looked at it? You need to take your insulin.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. What, I mean, we're going a little bit into the technical stuff with diabetes, type 1 diabetes. And I feel like what I'm really curious about is, you know, you said earlier that you get down yourself in workouts,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you find it difficult. Another we just said is you find it difficult to manage blood sugar is like the hardest thing with type 1 diabetes. What are some of the things that you tell yourself to get through some of the tough situations that you find yourself in?
At first, at the age of 7, when I got type 1 diabetes, I felt really down. I felt really depressed, thinking that I did something that caused me to get type 1 diabetes. Growing up, I soon realized it wasn't my fault. To this day, I still have my days where I ask like myself, like, why me? Like, why did I get this? And then I think about how I'm not the only one with type 1 diabetes. There's a variety of kids out there with it. And with the Shay Strong Foundation, that's what I kind of want to get to. I talk to my mom about it sometimes. I take my insulin and I just try to get through the day because it doesn't really, like, it affects me every day, like taking my insulin and everything. But having it, I don't know how to like explain it, but it can get to you. It's just something, it's like a matter of like thinking about the positive things. And with the Shay Strong Foundation, that's what I kind of wanted to do, was to teach other kids. Like, I want to know their stories and I want them to hear mine and what we can do to help each other.
Yeah. I mean, it's gotta be nice when people don't look at you and see a diabetic.
Yeah.
Right. I'm sure your friends don't look at you that way anymore because they've kind of grown up with you. And I know the other athletes that you compete with, I mean, half of them have no idea, right? Yeah. I mean, some of the people in the gym know, but I bet you go to a competition and nobody is looking around saying like, oh, I bet you that person has, you know, type 1 diabetes, or
right.
that person has like skin cancer. Like, nobody's ever thinking about that, right? That's got to be part of the draw for you with being an athlete.
Yeah, it is kind of cool, like, people coming up to me, asking them how I got into CrossFit and what drives me. And then somewhere it pops up that I have type 1 diabetes and they think it's super cool that I can take on both things at the same time. With the Shay Strong Foundation, I recently just met a little girl, Megan, and she was diagnosed a few months ago. And I was interviewed by Fox 40 this last Friday. And I wanted the Fox 40 people to put her on TV to share her story too, which was really, really cool. They started talking to her and her friends. And I started getting, like, emotional to my mom. Like, I was like, I don't know what was happening. I was going to step out or something. It was just really cool seeing that I didn't diabetes. I can help other kids. And later that day, she posted a comment calling me her role model. And I just thought that was like the coolest thing in the world. And that just keeps driving me to do more.
And I think that one thing for you is, I think that sometimes, you know, like what Blair's talking about is where you go to a competition, people don't really know, you know. Mm-hmm. What you start to realize is that as you get older, you know, like towards Blair and I's age, if you ever make it that far.
Really old.
Yeah, really old. Is that everybody is dealing with something.
Yeah.
And the way you choose to deal with it says a lot about who you are as a person, you know. And so the
that determines whether you're a role model or not.
Yeah, and so the simple fact that you've kind of already owned this and then started to help other people
mm-hmm.
says a lot about your character. It says more about your character than does about your athleticism, you know, and that's really, really cool. I think that, you know, this may be the judgmental people around you will kind of reach a crescendo around 18, 19 years old. And then pretty soon people become very empathetic and start to understand that everybody deals with something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whether that be a disease or a condition or a past or a substance or a, you know, person in their life, you know what I mean? Whether, you know what I mean? Like everybody deals with something. And so I think that it's very, very cool the way you handle everything.
Yeah.
And it's admirable. You know what I mean? It really is.
And I think Ben saying is exactly right. The older you get, the more things that you've dealt with in your life kind of shape who you are and become. And the people that haven't dealt with anything aren't that interesting.
Yeah.
as it turns out.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, so even though it, you know, many times you wish things don't happen to you, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I wish I didn't have to go through that. Once you are through it and you're kind of on the other side of it, like for you, like this difficult time of being, you know, diagnosed with childhood diabetes, like you said, you're now becoming a role model to others, and that feels really good.
Yeah.
That's not the opportunity. You may not have ever had that opportunity to inspire other people. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that, like you said, that's a really, really cool thing, and that's not an opportunity that a lot of people get.
Yeah, it was really cool. And then just kind of like opened my eyes to what I kind of want to do in the future.
Talk a little bit about that. So you had the interview with Fox 40 because
mm-hmm.
there's a Shea Strong fundraiser, right?
Yeah.
What other types of things is the foundation going to do, or would you like to see it do?
We recently just did the Shea Strong event where it was kind of like an elementary jogathon, but you did it with pull-ups or a clean and jerk, and based on how many did or how many pull-ups you did or how many pounds you did on your clean and jerk, you have sponsors that give you a certain amount of money. And
for example, my grandmother pledged 10 cents a pull-up for me to do as many pull-ups as I could in 5 minutes.
You probably felt underpaid.
Yeah, I was like, come on, G. Like 10 cents a pull-up, man. But that's okay. She's given me a lot in my life. I can't really...
You can't complain. Without
can't
her,
complain.
There is no you.
Yeah, that's right.
No, but it was really cool. And that was just kind of like the first thing that we wanted to try with Shea Strong. And now we're thinking about doing competitions yearly. And then I wanted to... The people within the Shea Strong... the group.
The committee?
The committee.
The central committee at Shea Strong?
They want me to start going around talking to schools and like events, talking about like my story with type 1 diabetes, what they can do to help, the differences. Overall, that's what Shea Strong is like, what the future looks like for right now.
Well, it's been about almost an hour, and I'm sure you have like homework or some CrossFit to do or something.
CrossFit.
So it's like, it's really good to hear from you about where Shea Strong wants to go. It's cool to hear what you're doing this year in terms of your focus on the open. If people want to start following you and like your journey and what you're trying to do, how do they find you?
I have a Shea Strong Instagram, Facebook, and website. The Shea Strong Instagram is Shea Strong CrossFit_Shea Strong, and then just Shea Strong for the Facebook, and then Our website is shaystrong.org, and we just got it up and running, so it's not fully done yet, but the donation page just started a couple days ago, right when the event started for the Shea Strong Foundation, so you can go on there and look around.
So you can be as active as you want. They can follow your story. They can donate to the research for type 1 diabetes.
10 cents a pull-up for Blair.
10 cents a pull-up for Blair, right? And then if people want to follow the complaints that you file against Blair as a coach, is there any specific place for that, or do you just want to text me those directly? You don't have to answer that.
There's a special folder on Ben's computer for all negative comments about me.
Yep.
That's why he can always pull things out at the drop of a hat. He's been studying it on his phone during the entire interview.
Absolutely. All right, guys. That's about all the time we have. If you want to follow us, you can check us out at
BTB Podcast on Instagram and Facebook and btbpodcast.com. Sign up for our newsletter. And we're coming up with some nice Christmas gifts this year.
Coffee mugs.
That's right. Classic ceramic coffee mug with the BTB logo. Those will be available December 14th.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.